Network Automation Nerds Podcast. Hello, and welcome to Network Automation Nerds Podcast, a podcast about network automation, network engineering, Python, and other technology topics. I'm your host, Eric Cho. This is a very special episode today, and boy, I think we're in for a treat because we're going to have virtual donuts, we're going to have network breaks, and we're going to have never enough network automation and technologies. And so, you know, like today on the show, we have two very special people who requires no introduction. Quite honestly, their platform is what inspired me to start this podcast. So, of course, I'm talking about the one and only Ethan Banks and Drew Connor Murray, co-hosts of the Packet Pushers content platform. Why are they here? I guess you just have to listen to find out. So welcome to the show, Drew and Ethan.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks for having us, Eric.
So I know I said no introduction was required, but just in case somebody, you know, one of the listeners has been living under a rock for the last decade or so. So can you each give us a 2-minute introduction of who you are? Why don't we start with you, Ethan?
Sure. 20-year plus IT professional. I worked on mostly enterprise networks in my career. I did a bunch of different verticals. I was a consultant for a while. I was a full-time employee for the most part. Worked on, back in the dark ages era, client server LANs. Remember those things when client server was everything we were talking? Did a bunch of that kind of work. I worked on WANs and I worked in data centers. I did file and print stuff. Ended up doing networking and security, as that's the stuff I really like the most. And I got into the kind of in the public sphere. I completed lots of certs and wrote about them. I wrote hundreds of blog posts related to certs and technology. Did some public speaking, including some stuff for Drew, where he was my boss and he contracted me to do some public speaking and other stuff. I started podcasting in 2010 as one of the original Packet Pushers. And then I went full time with that, Eric, in 2015. And I've been full time as a business owner and podcaster since then.
That I didn't know. So let's move on to you, Drew. Can you give us a little bit of introduction? And like, there's so many like stuff that I didn't know until I started working with you guys. Like, you were part of the networking magazine? Like, what? Let's talk. Yep. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, so I come from the media side of the tech world. I've been a reporter and editor on a variety of publications. Folks may have heard of Network Computing, Network Magazine. I was the in charge of all the technical content for the Interop conference for a long time, which is, I think, one of the ways that I got in touch with Ethan and Greg on the Packet Pushers, having them come in to do some, put on some shows at the conference. I also had Ethan and Greg do some writing when I was editor at Network Computing. So I've been on the reporting side of the house on tech media, talking to companies and folks in the space for, I guess, 2 decades now too, and then joined the Packet Pushers in 2015. Now I am full-time podcasting as well.
When you guys say join Packet, I thought you guys were all co-founders. Like, one day you guys were in the pub and talk over beer and be like, let's start this thing, right? Like there's nothing like us out there. Let's go inspire the next Eric, like X, right? Like the time to do the thing. But like, that didn't sound like that's what happened, right? Because you say joins. I assume like there was like a formation.
So I walked into something that Ethan and Greg Farrow had set up. They started off the podcast, the Heavy Networking podcast. And I don't even know if it was called Heavy Networking when you guys started it. But
no,
they just started
Packet Pushers. That was
it was just called Packet Pushers.
Packet Pushers, yeah.
Yeah. So you can tell the story, Ethan.
Eric, it's not far off from what you were imagining. There was no pub involved because we all lived in different places. But to me and Greg Farrow and another guy, Dan, who ended up working for AWS, so he couldn't be public anymore because AWS said, no publicity for you, Dan. So Dan left us early on. And it was just
Was
Greg
it Dan Cohn or?
Now you're asking me to remember a name from 15 years ago, and I'm a man of a certain age that forgets names.
It's okay.
No,
we'll find out.
That was not the name. Yeah.
Okay.
But he left, and then it was Greg and I doing Packet Pushers as just a single podcast in our spare time. We found each other because we were bloggers, and we had really popular blogs. I had a blog called CCIE Candidate. I blogged for about 2 years about the CCIE program as I was working through that. Greg had etherealmind.com. And we just wanted to collaborate, and we came up with podcasting as a way to collaborate together.
And yeah, I got involved. Sorry, Eric.
No, go for it.
Yeah, I got involved back when I was still working for Interop. because I had worked with Greg and Ethan, Greg invited me to just show up to the Network Break podcast, which used to be called Coffee Break for people who are really deep in the weeds. So while I was still employed with Interop, I would just come on as sort of the weekly co-host and we do our news rundown. And then I got fired from Interop. And so I mentioned, hey, Greg, I just got fired. So if you want to find another co-host, I totally understand. And he was like, do you want a job? And I said, yes. It's gone on from there.
Oh, wow. So that's amazing. I mean, so you guys mentioned you guys are doing this full time now. So how did that go from like a habit or like a side project to all the way to like a business that's able to sustain multiple employees?
Well, the transition was we kind of figured out as we built an audience and a lot of people were listening to the Packet Pusher show, hey, there's an opportunity to make some money here by having sponsors come on and talk about products. And so we didn't know how to handle that. We were engineers. We don't know anything about marketing. We don't know anything about sales. So, but we figured out that, look, there's other nerds that work for these vendors and we want to talk to the nerds and have nerd conversations. And so we figured out we'd do that. And then we would charge money. We didn't know how much was enough. And I won't say how much we charged for our very first engagement, but I'll say we got laughed at. Do you accept a credit card? Ha, ha, ha. Because that's how low ball we were.
Here's some peanuts and let's go down.
It was kind of that. It was a joke. And then we learned over time, no, marketing is a serious thing. And we found that the sponsors, the vendors wanted to work with us on our own terms. That is speak to fellow engineers about the products. And the marketing people were like, yeah, we'll pay for that. That's great. And figured out how much was enough to charge. And then over time, as we figured that out, wow, there's a business here. We can do this full time. And this is, again, right around the 2015 timeframe. I'd come to the end of an engagement with a medical services network that I was working with who had hired me and then told me they were going to get funding. They should have gotten the funding and then hired me because they never got the funding. So they had me sitting around doing
the order operations a little off.
And then Greg was coming up on the end of a contract and he was finishing out that contract. So we talked over and was like, let's do it, man. Let's jump in both feet, see what happens. And yeah, it's worked out. And we've continued to educate ourselves on product marketing and sales, but still trying to be technical and deep in the weeds with engineering. And that's been a tough line to walk. I'm not going to lie to you. That has been a challenge, you know, constantly. A lot of times marketing folks come in with bullet points that they want to drive home. And we're like, yeah, the bullet points are great. But how does it work? That we want to know how it works. How do we apply this in the real world to our lives? But we figured it out. We've done our best with that over the years, and it's been good. And honestly, Eric, it's needed to become full time for us for the way it's gone, because the amount of research that's involved in building podcasts. And of course, we've added so many more podcasts to the network. It's not just the Packet Pusher show anymore. We rebranded that to Heavy Networking, and now there's, what are we up to, Drew? 8 shows, something like that. There's a lot. There's a lot that goes on. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything to add to that experience, Drew?
I mean, it's been interesting to be part of this, to watch it grow, because it did feel like kind of, I don't want to say like a pirate ship, but it was just sort of like, yeah, try something and see if it works. Let's figure it out and just kind of explore and take chances and try things. So it's been a wonderful experiment to be a part of. And I feel lucky that I'm here and been able to hopefully help it grow a bit.
Yeah. So you mentioned, which is like a good segue into what I was going to say, you know, like why we're here today.
Yes.
And it's because the topic today is embracing change. And it's because I am fortunate enough, I really look at it as a great opportunity to kind of expand the audience and expand my own horizon as a podcast, as a podcast host, as well as just like you said, Ethan, like learning business, right? Like embracing changes. So Network Automation Nerds is going to move to Packet Pusher. And it's going to be one of that many, many substreams that's had a very focused topic on just network automation. I am super excited about it. And if you're, you know, I don't know what we're going to do with the video, that's still out of the air. But if you're watching video, you can see the logo has changed from my old boring logo to this, you know, network automation nerds with the propeller hat, which is Ethan's known for, and the orange packet pusher logo in my shirt. So I am super excited to announce this change. And I thank you both for welcoming me to the platform, because like I said, I think this is the next step up to learn from you guys, as well as to get to know the more sustainability part, right? Because part of my struggle was kind of what you describe, and Ethan and Drew, what you both describe as the early days of, it felt like a side project. It felt more like a interesting thing to do on the side, but it's, you know, gradually taking more time and energy and resources away from everything else, family, business, and a full-time job. So, you know, this is a great change in my opinion.
We're glad to have you, Eric. That's one thing. We're very, very glad to have you. Network Automation Nerds has been one of those podcasts that's been in my feed for a long time in my podcatcher. So glad to have you aboard as part of the Packet Pushers Network for sure. And then, as you've discovered, the side hustle of podcasting, it's not just, I'm going to rock up to the mic with my buddies and we're going to talk for an hour and it'll be great. For a technical podcast, there's planning involved and research, and you got to scope out a document so you got some kind of a conversational flow that's going to make some sense for the people that are listening. And then you got to, once the show has been, you know, created, you've done all that background work and done the recording and it's there. Now the thing's got to get edited, and then you got to publish it, and you got to maintain the platform that you use to publish on, and so on. And some of that's one-time stuff, but I mean, some of that's like every week if you're editing it yourself. It's a grind. And I learned really quickly when starting out editing my own podcast, like, it turns out I'm not going to edit out every and ah. Some of those are going to have to be okay, because I'll be here before 5 hours. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So again, really glad to have you on board, Eric.
Yeah, we're excited, Eric, to have you on board, because you're tackling a topic that is probably near and dear to a lot of people in our audience trying to get their hands or arms around network automation. So it's exciting to have you on board. And you did a great job, you know, doing this as a side gig and building out an audience and building out listeners. So congratulations and welcome aboard. You should be getting your eye patch and your cutlass and your parrot very soon.
Yeah, I look forward to those. But I mean, right off the bat, it feels great to have colleagues and people who are backing you up. If you're just super sick that one week, right? Somebody will be able to step in and just take care of business while you're gone. Like I said, it felt like I was just shouting into the dark. I'm talking. I don't know who's listening, right? Like, I've shown this on some podcasts, and I don't know if it's going to show, like, this is my 3D printed like MakerBot. And what I usually do when I'm creating course is I'm pretending I'm talking to that MakerBot. Like, how pathetic is that? I'm just like, dude, like, you know, maybe you're interested in, you know, EIGRP today or your OSPF. And, you know, guess what? We're going to talk about BGP or, you know, like for more network automation on and APIs today. So it felt that way. And, you know, it's great to finally have some colleagues and to bounce off ideas from. If, you know, one day I decide to get rid of this Yeti mic, then like, who do I talk to on, you know, what's the best quality? I see you have the podcaster, right? Like the Rode podcaster, and Ethan has some other mic. So like, it's just great to have all these resources behind you. And back to what you were talking about, Ethan, like, editing is really a pain. I mean, when I first started, the first two pilot episodes, I watched the whole series of like YouTube videos on this guy called Podcast Answer Man. I don't know if you guys heard of him.
I don't know.
It's like, it's very niche, right? But he has great explanation on how to do this for free. You pay like $1.99 on an app, and then you pay another $10 on this mic, a lapel mic that you could do, and you know, you put some blanket over your head to reduce the sound, like all of these other stuff, and who's just bootstrapping the totally ghetto, but it works. But it takes so much work to get that first episode out. Then I stopped for like 3 years, 3 or 4 years, and it was just sitting out there, you know. But because it was all free, right? So it didn't cost me any money. So I didn't have any reminder on the lack of progress I've made until a couple of years ago, where, you know, podcast was just taking off. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that. On, you know, I don't know, it was pre-COVID, but it was, you know, just maybe like 6 months before COVID that it was, you know, kind of had this trajectory of taking off. And then because there's crowd, there's, you know, platforms like Buzzsprout and something else that takes that hosting pain away on distributing it to multiple platforms and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it became easier. And then I started to do this. So I like to get your, because you guys started, was it 2012 that you guys started?
2010 was the very, very beginning. Yeah.
Mm. Right. So like, how did you feel about all these changes that has happened? And I know this is interesting to me because most of the time when I listen to, like, for example, Ethan, your podcast is all about that topic of that week, right? So you don't deviate from that. You are very focused on it. And Drew, you know, you make a very, very concise effort to make it like 30 minutes. So it's interesting to hear you guys' you know, kind of thoughts and kind of experience going through it. I don't know if anybody else have asked you this, but why don't we start with you, Drew, this time on, you know, your thoughts on these changes that has happened. Maybe in the beginning, and I don't know if there's like kind of a era that you would segment them out at.
I guess I feel like podcasts really started to take off in part because, as you mentioned, Eric, it's a low barrier to entry. You can get a pretty inexpensive mic, you can throw a blanket over your head and you can start talking, and then you got a podcast. The tricky bit is one, distribution. That's also gotten easier, which I think is also leading to the rise of podcasts. That's available now to make it a lot easier to actually get the podcast out to people. But the hard part is consistency, doing it time after time after time, getting show after show after show, even when maybe you don't feel like it, or you think I've run out of topics, or my guest just flaked on me for the third time and I'm supposed to record tomorrow and what am I going to do? It's that kind of stuff that really, it makes the difference between, I think, a successful podcaster and someone who just does two or three episodes and was like, okay, I guess I'm done. I think the reason it exploded is because what we hear from people is podcasting is, this feels a little bit uncomfortable word to use, but it's intimate, right? There's voices sort of right, like literally inside your head. And if you listen to podcasts over time, then you sort of pick up on the quirks and the personalities of the people talking to you, and you sort of develop this parasocial relationship with them. So it's just kind of like, I think that's its power, is its immediacy, its intimacy, it's being right there with you. And particularly when you're talking about something that so many people, like our audience, spend so much time doing, something they love, something they work with, there's that extra element of it that sort of binds the podcast to people. It's that deep diving into topics that they're interested in and love, combined with that personality and that familiarity and that intimacy that makes the podcasting in general, to me, so powerful, such a powerful medium.
What about you, Ethan? Is there any, you know, just the segment, the changes, what do you think of all these kind of progression over the years?
Well, one of the things that we've observed over the years, there's a lot of people that start podcasts, few people that stick with it. It is challenging, even with the number of platforms and tools that have made it easier to produce and publish a podcast. There's still a lot of people that give up on it. It's tough. Or I'll be listening to one and I haven't heard a podcast from these guys for 6 months. And all of a sudden they pop up, oh, it's been a while since we did a show. We really, really had to buckle down and get a show in the can. Let's go. Let's go. That's like, and then that's the last one. They never do another one after that. It's over. So that's a thing that we've noticed. It's difficult to stick with it, to really stick with it. You got to believe in it and commit to it. Another thing that's happened in the last, since 2010 when we started, is the explosion of other things trying to get people's attention that has taken people's attention away from podcasts on some level, because they've got Netflix and they've got TikTok and they've got Disney Plus and they've got YouTube and all these other things that are out there that can keep your attention. It's not just other podcasts. It's not just, it's just a lot of things that are distracting people now and keeping them from listening to podcasts. I think work from home is another change that is related to that. We know stories from people who would say, well, since I started working from home because of COVID, most likely, I don't hear you guys as much because I used to listen to you on my commute, and now they don't have a commute, or their commute's across the hall. Kick the cat and into the office they go. They don't have time to listen to a
optionally
to a show
kick
sometimes.
The cat.
Optionally.
No cat was harmed during the recording of the show.
So that's been another change that I think has really forced those of us that are making content to take it very seriously. You have got to put a show together that is valuable to the person that's listening, that doesn't waste their time. You've got to be serious enough about it that when you get to the end of that podcast recording as a listener, they've gotten value. If they listened and they cared enough about it to pay attention, they've gotten value. It's improved things for them. I know, I mean, but that's kind of the medium that we're in of tech podcasting that's really engineering focused. I understand there's a lot of podcasts out there. They're for entertainment. They're there for fun. That's a different thing than what we're talking about here, where you're asking someone to focus 30 to 45 minutes or even an hour on something that's technical and deep and could affect their livelihood or their career or where they're working. You know, we've got plenty of stories from folks who are like, I heard about X on your show, a vendor, a topic, whatever it was. I brought it up in a conference room during a design meeting, and everyone turned their head and looked at me and said, how do you know about that? I've never heard of this. Oh, I heard it on Packet Pusher. That's the kind of stuff that we strive for. We want to make matter, even in this time of change and competing in the attention economy.
Yeah, I would totally echo what both of you said, but especially Drew's comment about this being intimate, and it's kind of a superpower, right? Like, so you guys know me as, you know, who have written multiple books, and I see that as a superpower, is having, you know, a conversation that's across time, that's across geographic barriers. I mean, the book has now traveled to more places than I have been, right? Like, it has a Russian translation, it has, multiple translations out there in Korean, Chinese, and so on. So I see that as a superpower, but I think podcasts even take one step further, that you're transmitting your personality along with the content that you're trying to produce. And so, for example, for me, you know, since I listen to you guys every week, even though I haven't met you guys, I mean, I was on the show before, but even if before then, I feel like I know you guys as friends. And, you know, when I first time I met Michael Kennedy, who was another guy who, you know, helped me out a lot on the content, on the preparation, who's the host of Talk Python and wrote the foreword for my book. I know he's recently on your show. So, you know, Ethan, so, you know, shout out to Michael there. But yeah, so like even before I met him at, I believe was PyCon, that I knew about his interests, his professional career trajectory and all of that. And I think that's the superpower that podcasts bring you, because for a YouTube video, it's, at least for me, it's hard for me to sit in front of a screen, doesn't need to be a computer, and watch the video for like 10, 20 minutes. I just don't have that kind of, nowadays, maybe attention span, maybe just that fragment of time. But for a podcast, I could listen to it while, like you said, Drew and Ethan, that, you know, when you're commuting or when you're like working out or when you're doing something. So I think those are kind of the special characteristics and what keeps me doing the podcast, even though I'm guilty of that sporadic release, right? Like, especially when I'm, you know, going back to school, like, you know, working and going back to school and family, all those stuff are really just coming at you. And it's hard to be consistent on that. But yeah, I agree with everything you guys have said. Yeah. So let's get back. I mean, I got so excited about talking about podcasts and moving to the platform. We didn't even get to like the topic we're supposed to talk about today. I mean, I don't know. I mean, so I will be honest, in preparing for this week's and, you know, the two episodes that we're going to record, I don't have a lot of thoughts on, just because part of it, it's hard for me to organize. I mean, the topic that I thought about discussing today was embracing change. But once I think about what I'm going to talk about, I either go too light, too on the surface level, or go too deep, right? Like moving to the USA. Oh my God. Like that's a can of worms for me. So, so I don't know, what's your first thought when that popped to your mind, Drew, when I talk about let's record a couple episodes about embracing change.
Well, a couple of things. One is, you know, we are in an industry that is constantly changing in some ways. In some ways, it's still the same, but there's always some new way to do the things that we've been doing before, or a new tool on top of all the other tools that have come before. So there's always new things you have to learn, new skills and so on. So our part of our industry is essentially about change. And I think one of the things we talk about on the podcast all the time is navigating that change, trying to understand which changes are meaningful to you, which aren't, and so on. But then there are more personal changes. Like I do want to hear your story about moving into the US, because I think that's interesting, because I think it does say something about you as a person. So there's lots of ways to look at change, job change, professional change, personal changes. Maybe we can get into all of it.
Yeah. What about you, Ethan? What's your first thought when we say about embracing change? Should we even embrace change, right? Like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with
sometimes change is just thrust upon us. I don't know if we can, I don't always get to decide if we want to embrace it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to talk about too.
My first thought was that sometimes change is just change. It is what it is. And it kind of is what you make of it. If you decide you're going to struggle against the change because you don't want things to be different, you create all this tension in yourself that's pointless. You don't really have any control over what's happening. Change is inevitable, whether it's tech or just life. For example, I used to have kids at home and they're growing up. And so now I don't. And I miss having my kids around. They're awesome. But I'm also glad that they're adults and they're making their way in the world. I'm proud of both of them. They're both awesome. There's no point in being upset about that change. Yeah, sometimes change just, it is what it is. So that was kind of my first thought. I mean, I got other thoughts too, but that was the one I led with, Eric.
Yeah, I think I would agree with what you said. And I think when I think back on all the major changes, and it's a real topic in my mind on whether I should embrace change, right? Because I'm a very routine-based guy. I mean, I order the same thing. I go to the same restaurants. I order the same thing. I like that, right? Like, I like that predictability. What I want to do is I want to be very predictable in certain aspects of my life so that I could go super aggressive on the other aspects, right? I don't have to worry about what to eat at this restaurant. I don't have to worry about what to wear in the morning, but I could save all of that decision, because, you know, decision fatigue is a real thing, but I could save all those decision-making capabilities for the things I want to go aggressive on. Like, what should I do with my career? What should I do today so that I could achieve those goals? So that was a kind of a struggle for me on whether we should embrace change. And you brought up a good point, then, on sometimes it's just inevitable and that thrust upon us. So I think the biggest difference for me is whether I resist it in the beginning, ultimately you'll accept it. You have no other way. But whether I resist in the beginning is whether it's forced upon me or whether I choose that path myself, right? Like, if I choose to change career, or if I choose to move the podcast stream from, you know, hosting on my own to Packet Pusher, I embrace that because I choose it. I make that decision. But maybe just use the example that we brought up before, moving to the US. It wasn't my decision, right? I didn't wake up one day when I was, 13 and say, wouldn't it be nice to be in the US, right? Like, it was a family change and it was parents getting divorced. So it wasn't my choice. Mm-hmm. So then, that emotional tie was tied to that fact that I would. So I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think on just that word of embracing change, even though it's not always within your control?
So you were describing a situation where you ended up in the US, not through circumstances you wanted. It was against you. So sometimes change can be bad, right?
Right.
I was laid off at a startup I was working at. The startup lost its expected funding round. It was like, a sure thing. It's going to happen. We're getting the next funding round. It's all good. We're going to be ready to go for the next 2 years. No worries.
Right.
And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Within the space of a week, we went from we're taking over the world, we're blowing all our competitors out of the water, we're grabbing tons of market share, to
There's some rumors going around that something's not happening with the finances and maybe that funding round's not coming through. And then that Friday, we all got fired. It was, we were done.
Wow.
Just that fast. It's like, okay, what just happened? Now, I got a job that night working at a company I used to work for as a consultant. That wasn't great. It wasn't really the job I wanted to do. I liked the job I had at that startup. I was a data services engineer working on DNS and email and a bunch of stuff, working with lots of customers. I had a pile of work on my desk to be done. And we were building out a new data center. And oh, man, it was like exciting times. You know, it's the place I wanted to be.
Right.
Go back and work for that small consultancy because they need somebody. I mean, it's better than not getting paid, but it's not exactly what I wanted to be doing. But you just suck it up and do what you got to do. You just adjust to the change and you make it work. In that circumstance, that's not so bad, right? Oh, you got laid off and then immediately had a job, but it wasn't the one you wanted, you poor baby. You know, there's a bunch of people I know right now who are in tech that have been laid off and they got nothing. They're looking and it's hard. There's friends of mine who are looking right now. They got laid off and it's just a scramble. 200 people applying for a job within 24 hours for a position a friend of mine was looking for. He's like, there's already 200 applicants. You guys just posted it. Yeah, we just posted it. That's the world we're living in right now. So, but there you go. Sometimes just, what can you do? What are your choices? To make yourself miserable or to figure out how to make the best of the situation and adjust as best you can?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is it. It's how fast can you get over that to have the wisdom to differentiate between the things you could change and the things you cannot, and get over that. If this is something that is not within your control, then you kind of suck it up and you embrace the change, or at least, you know, be able to live with it and move on with your life and control the things that you could control. That is something that I did not learn when I was younger, but now that it's going through so many changes, you know, whether that's job or moving around, in different locations and changing jobs multiple times, that I'm starting to realize is that the faster you get over that emotional, like, what is it? Like the five state of,
the five stages of grief. Yeah.
Yeah. the faster you start going, you know, like the blame, the angry, the resentfulness, and then Now you become acceptance, right? Like you accept it. And then now you talk about what can you do? Like if you, like you said, if you lose your job, then the sooner you accept it, go, you know, think about your emergency fund and go on and look and all of that, the faster you get to that, the better.
I think there's something to that. Although I would say, I think you also kind of do need to go through that process. Like It's easy to say intellectually, well, I'll just get over it. But emotionally, it can be a much harder thing, especially if there are things like the livelihood of myself and my family tied into it and my self-identity. So it is one thing to say, yeah, just get over it and go with the flow. But I do think people also need to give themselves, if they can, if they have that luxury, a little bit of time to kind of think about and work through and figure out, okay, what is in my control? What's outside of my control? How am I feeling about this? Where do I want to go? Before just being like, all right, suck it up and move on and find the next thing. Like, I do think we need to sit with a major experience, like moving to an entire different country, or I was at an awesome startup and now I'm fired. Or with me, it was like, I made a job change and then got laid off and was like in a panic. You got to sit with these things.
I think that's the adult in you talking because that is really wise. So I think even from a younger Eric perspective, I used to think that you should just suck it up and run through walls. And I find myself talking to a lot of my guests, just the topic that we talked about during the show, that off the camera, you know, I told them what I hate the most nowadays is these hustle porns that I would call, right, online. It's just like, oh no, you just have to like try really hard and you're there in, you know, whatever unfortunate situation you're in because you didn't work hard enough or You didn't have the audacity or the grit to go through it, which is totally not true because, no. You know, we're all products of our circumstances, right? Like, if you were born as a female in some countries, you don't even get an opportunity to educate yourself. How can you try hard that way? And or all of our starting points is different. So you know, I just, that kind of reminded me of the conversation, multiple conversation I've had with the guests, is that nowadays, after going through a lot of, you know, like layoffs you know, job change and personal, that I just dislike the fact that people ignore the fact that we're from starting point, like our starting point is different, and each of us deal with situation differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's some people that talk about that grit and determination, and that's all it takes. Just work hard and it'll all happen. No, any business owner will tell you that if they're really honest with themselves, there's some element of fate, luck, or timing that had to do with the success of their business. It had nothing to do with how hard they worked. They just were at the right place at the right time, or they had a particular connection that helped them make it to the next step, and other people didn't get those breaks and their business didn't make it. That is the honest reality of a lot of business. Yeah, you got to work hard. That's certainly part of it, but it's not all of it. There's more to the equation for success.
Yeah, and just more empathy, understanding. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we live in a culture that in some ways, if you don't succeed, then it must have been your fault because you didn't work hard enough. And that failure kind of comes with a judgment about you as a person when it isn't necessarily so.
Yeah, I also think just because I came from another country and I constantly go back to other countries, and you know, I try to read up on other cultures as well. I think this is almost like I think by some standards, it's an American thing that, you know, it's like a capitalist, you know, meritocracy society, right? Like we gave you all the opportunities in the world, and if you can't, you know, cash in on some of them, or you didn't do the right thing, then it must be on you. It's not that we did, but you know, you look at the homeless crisis and all that, it's just, I don't know. I mean, the fact that contradicting that narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meritocracy is such a loaded word. There's been places I've worked where most places I've worked, it's not about your merit. It might be on some level if the place is hard up for tech talent, but so often it can be more about who you know and who your buddies are. Yeah. That's the thing that is the differentiator between you getting kept or laid off because of who your friends are, you getting the bonus or not getting the bonus because, again, who your friends are and how well you're liked within the organization, much less about how good you are at your job. And that always rubbed me the wrong way, especially when I was younger. It's like, dang it, I did the thing and I did it really good and I didn't get rewarded for it. And he did because he's buddies with the boss and that's just how that works. Sorry, man.
he markets himself better.
But, yeah,
right.
On that happy thought, I mean, I think this is you know, this is a very interesting episode. I think I think we talked. Our range is very broad, and I look forward to discuss more of, you know, more of a technology change topic in our next episode. But this is probably a good time to wrap up on just timing wise on our first episode of this recording. Well, tell us, where can people find you on if they want to follow you, listen to more of your content? Why don't we start with you, Ethan?
For me, packetpushers.net is the best place to go to find the podcast that I'm hosting. I'm writing and blogging up there. Any YouTube videos and work that I'll be doing, that's all. You're going to be able to find it all at packetpushers.net. And along with that, we have a community Slack channel that anyone is welcome to join. I am in there. You could DM me if you wanted. And then last would be LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn pretty easily, Ethan Banks.
Yeah, and I'm also all over the place at Packet Pushers. The Slack channel is a great place. We also have packetpushers.net/FU. The FU is for follow-up if you want to reach out and say hello or leave us a comment or a correction or whatever. I'm on Blue Sky, and I'm active there, and I'm hoping to build a technology community there, and it's now open. You don't need an invite. So if you're interested and you miss what Twitter used to be, I think we can make it happen again on Blue Sky. So come check that out. That's my 2 cents there. And I'm also on LinkedIn.
That's every time you say /FU, I always just chuckle.
that was a great innovation, as you might be able to guess. But yes, FU is for follow-up.
Yeah, for follow-up. Yeah, don't think of anything else, right? Follow-ups.
Yes, follow-up. Not that other thing you were thinking.
No, definitely not.
Eric.
Thank you for listening to the Network Automation Nerds podcast today. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other podcast platforms. Until next time, bye-bye.